Is your host in couple Errol Minor.
Good morning, human rights activists all over the world. Welcome back to the Communication Workers of America, CWA, Human Rights Hour Power, Justice Field Hour of Talk, Solidarity, and Worker Power. Right here on KYOK 1140 AM in the all-new 106.5 FM. If you are visiting the beautiful city of Houston, you can take us with you on kyokradio.org. You may now also listen and subscribe on our CWA app, as well as your favorite podcast player. CWA Strong app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, and Podchaser. Search for CWA Hour of Power on your favorite podcast player. Thank you for joining us on the CWA Human Rights Hour Power Radio Show this morning. It's about us. That's right. It's about us. Working agreements, solidarity, living wages, worker power, and simply human rights. Honk your horns if you support workers. We have a phenomenal show lineup with Mykia Jones, Sir Reginald Small, Timya Wiley, and we're welcoming to the CWA Hour Power Radio Show, Ms. Tay Akins. So tune in this morning. We're talking about devastation by Hurricane Milton, LGBTQIA plus History Month, Voting Buster of the Week, Sacrifices Made for Voting Rights, and Our Power Trivia. Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. Our union voices are ringing in every district from Alaska to Maine, Texas to Minnesota, Canada to Puerto Rico, because we don't play at CWA. Our union brothers, sisters, and siblings at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette have been outside for 24 months striking on the picket lines. And yet, while they're striking, they are still churning out the news with facts for you and me. Let's show our support to them by making sure we subscribe to unionprogress.com. Once you subscribe to this free publication, how about going over and donating to their strike fund at cwa.org/PPG-donate. I just heard someone shout in the background, when we fight, we win. Our brothers, sisters, and siblings at Maximus are still fighting for a contract. And so we ask for your continued support of the workers of Maximus and their families at cwa.org/CCW Solidarity Fund. You are tuned into KYOK 1140 AM and the all-new 106.5 FM. If you're on the go, you can take us with you on kyokradio.org. Ashton Woods is a dynamic human rights activist based in Houston, Texas, widely recognized for his co-founding and leadership role in Black Lives Matter Houston. His work centers around tackling systemic issues impacting Black communities, the LGBTQIA plus community, and broader social justice initiatives. Woods brings an intersectional approach to activism, integrated public health, legislative change, and community support to drive impactful, long-lasting change. Woods co-founded BLM Houston to address racial injustices and police brutality through activism and policy change. Since its inception, the organization has organized protests, community discussions, and public events to raise awareness around critical issues affecting Black communities, particularly in the wake of high-profile cases of police violence. Woods' leadership has been central in shaping BLM Houston as a powerful voice for justice and equality in Texas. A strong advocate for policy reform, Woods works closely with Texas legislatures to draft and support bills aimed at reducing police overreach and protecting civil rights. His contributions include working on aspects of the Sandra Bland Act, which focuses on preventing abuse in police custody, especially for minor offenses. Woods' legislative efforts highlight his belief that true change comes through altering policies that impact marginalized communities directly, making him a key figure in Texas's fight for racial justice. In addition to his work in racial justice, Woods actively addresses health disparities in Black and LGBTQIA plus communities. Having spoken openly about the disproportionate effects of HIV and other health crises on marginalized groups, he advocates for HIV and securing accessible healthcare for affected communities. He emphasizes the importance of comprehensive health education and resources, particularly during the COVID-19 pandemic, where he has worked to provide PPE and organize safe protest conditions. Woods prioritizes educating the public on systemic issues through workshops, public talks, and community events. His work often includes organizing Know Your Rights workshops and distributing resources that empower individuals to understand and assert their rights when dealing with law enforcement. He also collaborates with local organizations to address issues like food insecurity and housing, emphasizing that activism should extend to all facets of community well-being. A secular humanist, Woods brings to a unique perspective to his activism by focusing on secular human-centered approaches to social justice. His activism within the humanist community, reinforces his dedication to achieve justice without reliance on religious or traditional frameworks, which he believes allows for a more inclusive approach to human rights advocacy. Woods has been influential in pushing for reforms that reduce police power in cases involving nonviolent misdemeanors, therefore helping decrease unnecessary confrontations with law enforcement. His testimony and collaboration with policymakers underscore his commitment to legislative reform as a path to long-lasting societal change. Woods has organized and led numerous protests in Houston, providing platforms for marginalized voices. His response to George Floyd's murder included orchestrating large-scale protests and pushing for actionable changes within Houston's law enforcement policies. During the pandemic, Woods emphasized safe protest practices, distributing PPE and ensuring social distancing. He continues to advocate for healthcare access for Black and Brown communities, underscoring how systemic racism affects health outcomes. Known for his role as the founder of BLM Houston, Woods has been deeply engaged in issues concerning racial justice, LGBTQIA+ rights, police reform, community-based solutions for marginalized populations. His advocacy spans across economic equity, community safety, and education reform, where he focuses on addressing systemic disparities and creating more inclusive public policies. In his work, Woods has consistently pushed for decriminalization measures, fair wages, and healthcare access, emphasizing the interconnected nature of social issues and the importance of supporting underserved communities. His legislative interests reflect his activist roots, which often include engaging directly with Houston residents to advocate for policies that address their specific needs, from economic opportunities to public safety improvements. Woods' work continues to resonate with a wide audience in Houston, where he remains a vocal advocate for community empowerment and justice reform. Ashton Woods is not just a leader, but a strategist. He deeply committed to a future where marginalized communities in Houston and beyond are equipped with legislative protections, healthy equity, and the power to affect change. His emphasis on systemic change rather than surface-level reforms positions him as a key figure in Houston's social justice landscape. You're tuned into KYOK 1140 AM and the all-new 106.5 FM. If you're on the go, you can take us with you on kyokradio.org. You may now listen and subscribe to us on your favorite podcast player, CWA Strong app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, and Podchaser. or just search for CWA Hour of Power on your favorite podcast player. Up next is Makia Jones with LGBTQIA plus History Month. Good morning, Makia.
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, KYOK radio listeners. It's so good to be back. I missed you all last week. So today I'm going to talk to you all about LGBTQIA plus History Month, not to be confused with Pride Month. So LGBTQIA History Month is celebrated every October, aligning with National Coming Out Day. This month promotes visibility and understanding of the LGBTQIA plus identities, serving as a platform to claim our past and honor those who fought for equality. The observance aims to educate the public about LGBTQIA plus history, often addressing gaps in traditional education. However, LGBTQIA plus History Month is not just about education. It's a time for reflection of the journey of members of the queer community, and it's a moment of remembrance and an opportunity to support one another and uplift members that may feel like they have not been seen. By celebrating LGBTQIA plus History Month, we can challenge and negative stereotypes and foster acceptance, and it creates a safe space for the queer community to unite, reflect on shared experiences, and celebrate their identities. Highlighting past struggles can inspire ongoing activism for LGBTQIA plus rights. It's also a month that provides role models, builds community, and emphasizes the remarkable contributions of queer individuals, including milestones like the first March on Washington for Gay Rights in 1979. And it, again, should not be confused with Pride Month. It was first observed in 1994 and declared a National History Month by Barack Obama in 2009. And it's a month, and this month is an annual celebration of the histories of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender individuals and the broader civil rights movement that is related to them. This month, it's essential for acknowledging and celebrating the achievements and the history of LGBTQIA plus individuals while educating the wider community about their wider contributions and recognizing the challenges that they all have faced. So like I say, this month, along with every month, be kind, be understanding, and let's just focus on being better people because we don't know what kind of challenges people are facing that are invisible to us. So happy LGBTQIA plus History Month. Back to you, Errol.
Thank you so much, Makia. You're listening to CWA Hour Power on KYOK 1140 AM and the all new 106.5 FM. If you're on the go, you can take us with you on kyokradio.org. We want to welcome back into the studio. We just have someone to come in, just pop in and out when LB gets ready to. And we want to just say welcome back to Sir Reginald Small, who's been vacationing all over the world. How was Paris?
Paris was good, Errol. And it's good to be back. Good morning to you and good morning to all the KYOK radio listeners all across the land. And my, I have missed you all after being gone for a couple of shows. I am and I remain Reginald Small, Civil Rights on Equity Chairperson for Communications Workers of America. I am excited today, like I am on most Thursday mornings when we get down to this particular segment. This morning, I would like to spotlight all of our election workers, our election volunteers, our phone bankers, and our block walkers that have been doing amazing work during this political season. These are ordinary people doing extraordinary work in very challenging times. These folks, mothers, union workers, students, housewives, retirees, grandmothers, husbands, students, church affiliates, patriotic citizens, just doing their civic duties. They are knocking on doors, picking up the phone, and when it comes to election workers, greeting you with a smile and ensuring that the process is civil and smooth. I salute them, each one of them this morning. So to you, our radio listeners, when you get in line to vote, of course you're going to get in line to vote because you're definitely going to go and vote. Remember to be considerate to the workers by following their instructions and understanding that these people are doing a very necessary job. To those of you that have been irritated at the calls and at the many text messages and at the ringing doorbells from the block walkers, just remember, these are the people that are bringing awareness to the community, regardless of political affiliation. Civility, being civil, is all that is required. We don't have to be ugly on the phone. We don't have to hang up in a face. We don't have to slam the door. Your yes can be yes, and your no can be no. But it's all in how you deliver it. Many thanks to all of you who are doing this great work. Again, we salute you. And for all that you have done there in this political season, you have done the work and we appreciate you. This is my spotlight for today, Errol Minor, and now back to you.
Thank you so much, Reginald. And our hats are off to all of those workers that are doing a marvelous job all across the nation. You are tuned into KYOK 1140 AM and the all-new 106.5 FM. If you're on the go, you can take us with you on kyokradio.org. Listen and subscribe to us on CWA Strong app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, and Podchaser. Or just simply search for CWA Hour of Power on your favorite podcast player. Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. Turn the volume up just a little bit louder to hear the Union Voter Buster of the Week with Timia Wiley. Good morning, Timia.
Good morning, Errol. Good morning, KYOK listeners. Good morning, Saints and Aints. On the heels of my good brother, Reginald Smalls, talking about voting, I am going to talk to you again. I'm sorry. I'm here for it because it needs to be said. We're going to talk about developing a voter strategy before we get into the Union Buster of the Week. So you want to develop a voter strategy because it's going to help you make informed decisions, and that's going to maximize your impact. Here are a few steps to consider. First, you want to research your candidates and the issues. Look into the candidates' platforms, their past performances, and their specific issues on the ballot. Use reliable sources and nonpartisan websites for information. A good website to take a look at is AFL-CIO.org. Another thing you want to do is understand your local and state races. Sometimes local elections have a bigger impact on your community than federal ones, so make sure you research your local candidates and propositions. I'm just going to butt in right here. There have been many times before I knew better that I would get to the polls and I knew who the president, who I was voting for president, and I may have known the governor, but I didn't know like judges, local clergy, local clerk of courts. Those are the ones that you really want to do your research on so that you are prepared to vote correctly on the whole ballot. I used to get in there and say, hey, I like this name. I'm going to vote for this person, or that name sounds like a nice person. I'll vote for that person. But that is, we can't do that anymore. And I have to slap my own self on the wrist for doing that. I cringe every time I think about how I used to do that, because people sitting on these court benches are the people that preside over court cases that may affect a loved one or someone in your community. I'll digress. You want to identify your priorities, determine which issues are most important to you, whether it be healthcare, education, climate change, and make sure that your candidate that you vote for aligns, their values align with your values. The next thing you want to do is engage with your community. Discuss issues with your friends, your family, community members to gain different perspectives. Community forums or town halls can also be helpful. I'm just going to say that again. Your community forums, look for community forums. Look for your town halls. They are very helpful when it comes to learning about what's going on in your community, because there may be some things that you would be passionate about if you knew it was going on. So make sure you check into those community forums or town halls. You want to consider your voting methods. Decide whether you'll vote in person, by mail, or use early voting. Make a plan that fits your schedule. Take somebody with you. Check around if there are any young folks around you who haven't voted yet, or may be unsure about voting, make sure you talk to them. You won't know until you talk to them. So make sure you do that. And participate in voter outreach. If you feel strongly about certain issues or candidates, consider getting involved in campaigns or voter registration efforts. I have been phone banking, text banking. So yes, those annoying phone calls that you get, one of them could be me. I do volunteer my time. It's really easy. We have to go into this election 10 toes down. Another thing you want to do is evaluate the impact of your vote. Think about how your vote can influence not just the outcome, but also future elections and policies. I won't say that again. Your vote will not just affect the outcome of today, but it'll also affect your future elections and policies. So keep that in mind when you're voting. And finally, after voting, you want to stay informed. Continue to follow the outcomes and the performance of elected officials to hold them accountable. Continue to go to those community meetings. Continue to have conversations. Hold those elected officials' feet to the fire and make sure they vote as they say they're going to vote. Make sure they do what they said they were going to do when you voted on them. That is very important. A lot of times we vote people into office and then we just like give them a free pass to do whatever they want to do. And we can't, it's time out for that too. We have to be there to hold them accountable. Okay, so I'm getting off my soapbox about a box about voting, and I'm going to jump into our Union Buster of the Week. That is going to be the Post-Gazette, or the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, where the workers have been on strike for 2 years. As of last week, their strike reached its second anniversary, and the members are showing no signs of backing down. To commemorate this event, strikers brought their demands straight to the corporate executives and board members responsible for the ongoing conflict. They held a mobile rally and even hired a billboard truck to target both the Post-Gazette office and the homes of key decision makers. Ain't that funny, y'all? Can you imagine a billboard truck riding past your house? Well, good enough for them. That's what I say. Good enough for them. If they want to ignore the workers and their demands, blast them. Put them on blast. Among those targeted were executive editor Stan Wisnowski, Block Family heiress and BCI board member Emily Escalante, and publisher John Block, Natalie DeLuba, a striking designer and editor with the Newspaper Guild of Pittsburgh, took center stage with a video that played in upscale neighborhoods highlighting the strikers' plight. Good job, Natalie. This isn't something where they're in a corner and they can't move and they're helpless. These are the people who own the company, who run this company, who have the power to end the strike and treat their workers right. That's what Natalie said. And she's absolutely right. These aren't people who are holding a desk up and they're afraid of losing their job or making a decision. These are the owners. They very well can make these changes. So I say powerful words, Natalie. This struggle hasn't come out of nowhere. Before the strike began in October 2022, Post-Gazette management dragged contract negotiations out for 8 long years. 8 long years, they dragged out post-negotiations for the contract. During that time, they repeatedly violated federal labor laws, negotiated in bad faith, and unilaterally challenged worker conditions, all while refusing to discuss healthcare issues. When management cut off healthcare for workers, the members of CWA Locals 14842 and 14827, along with the printing, packaging, and production workers union, walked out. Their solidarity shone brightly on the picket lines as they protested against the unfair labor practices being enforced. As the situation escalates, the Post-Gazette workers face serious repercussions. The Federal Labor Board has filed to enjoin the company for violating the strikers' rights. Management has the power to resolve the strike at any moment by complying with the law and adhering to previous court orders, but they continue to break these laws. Just last week, criminal charges were filed against Post-Gazette officials for not disclosing the ongoing labor dispute in job listings, a direct violation of the Pennsylvania Strikebreaker Employment Act. The fight for fair treatment at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette continues. As we reflect on this two-year struggle, it's clear that the resolve of these workers and their allies remains strong. They're not just fighting for their own rights, but for the rights of all workers in the industry. And that's why they will be our union buster of the Back to you, Errol.
Thank you so much, Timmy, for the Union Buster, Voter Buster of the Week. You're listening to CWA Hour Power Hour on KYOK 1140 AM and the all-new 106.5 FM. If you're on the go, you can take us with you on kyokradio.org. You may also now listen to us on your favorite podcast player. Whichever one you like, just go on there and search for CWA Hour Power Radio Show. All right, so we are now down to talking about sacrifices made for voting rights. Today is filled with nothing but talking about voting, and we're just a few days away from the elections on next Tuesday. And so today we decided to bring everyone on and start talking about sacrifices made for voting rights and the importance of casting your vote today. Voting is one of the most fundamental rights in any democracy. It is the way in which individuals can participate in their government and influence the decisions that impact their lives. However, for Black Americans during the Jim Crow era, this right was violently denied. Many people lost their lives fighting for the right to vote, and their sacrifices remind us of the importance of exercising this privilege today. The history of voter suppression and the loss of lives tied to securing voter rights for African Americans speaks to the deep systemic racism that existed in the U.S. well into the 20th century. Individuals like Medgar Evers, Jimmie Lee Jackson, and Viola Luzzo were pivotal in this struggle. But tragically, they paid with their lives. Today, as we have access to voting without facing such brutal barriers, it's essential to honor these sacrifices by casting our ballots. And so today, we bring everyone in on the show, all of our hosts and co-hosts. We come in and we start talking about those individuals and the ability for us to get out and vote today. That was a sacrifice made for voting rights, and it's important for all of us, I mean, each and every last one of us, to get out and cast our votes today.
Yes, Errol. Hey, go ahead. As we talk about the important voting, we always stress that, you know, no vote is a vote, but we need to highlight the sacrifices that many people have made for us to have the right to vote. It's now easier for us to go to the polls and cast our vote. It was a time where people were afraid. They feared for their lives. They prayed before they went out to vote. They knew that they may not come back to their families, but that's the sacrifice they made for us to have the rights that we have now. So it's important to highlight what's happened in the past and the people who've lost their lives for us to vote. And it's also important to make sure that the generations to come understand that this was not just always here for us. This privilege was just not always here for us. Again, people lost their lives to make sure that we could go out and vote. It's important for us to take the opportunity to appreciate what we were given.
They absolutely did. And it's even happened in my father's lifetime. We aren't that far removed from people losing their lives for being able to vote.
Not at all.
Right. Just like in, like you mentioned, Medgar Evers, just right in 1965, Jimmie Lee Jackson was murdered while participating in a peaceful protest for voting rights. His death directly inspired the Selma and Montgomery marches, which was a pivotal moment in the civil rights movement. So it's not like, you know, when people think like, or people like make things seem like all this stuff that happened was like so long ago, and it's we're so far removed from that history, and we're not. And even today, you know, there are people today that are still in some ways losing their lives for the rights to vote or the rights to be themselves. And there's so many different things that are obstructing our rights to vote, like people burning ballot boxes.
And then there, and what a lot of people must realize is that there are activists of all nationalities fighting for the right to vote and for everyone to have equality when it comes to voting. You mentioned Jimmie Lee Jackson. Not only Jimmie Lee Jackson, but Reverend James Reed, after participating in that Selma. In the Selma marches, Reed, and he was a white minister, was attacked by white supremacists and later died from his injuries. And his death added to the national outcry for justice for everyone to have the right to vote.
As well as Viola Liozzo. She also was a white woman from Detroit, and she joined the civil rights movement. She was helping people get back and forth to vote. She was killed by the KKK for transporting activists during the Selma marches. Her murder also highlighted a violent resistance to voting, sorry, Black voting rights. For segregation. So she is another who it wasn't about just race, it was about the right to vote. It was to suppress the people from voting.
And then Herbert Lee, a Black farmer and activist in Mississippi, Lee was involved in voter registration efforts with the NAACP and SNCC. He was shot and killed in 1961 for his activism, demonstrating the deadly risk that came with advocating for voting rights during this time. And I want to add to this, my father, if he would still be living today, which he would be, I think, 89 right about now. I remember the stories that he would tell where his dad would talk about how my grandmother would take him to the civil rights marches right in Birmingham, Alabama. And it was not too far from his job. And my grandfather was the first Black crane operator here in Birmingham, Alabama. So we're not that far away from Jim Crow segregation, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of us were born right after segregation and Jim Crow. And during the Jim Crow era, there were many discriminatory practices that were used to disenfranchise Black voters. One that comes to mind, and we always hear our national president talk about his father's poll tax receipt. Voters had to pay a fee to cast the ballot, which many poor Black and white people could not even afford. Can you imagine having to pay $2 to vote when you were only making $2 a week to even be able to feed your family?
Also, let's talk about the literacy test, which was nearly impossible to pass, but it was something that was also there to block the way of people being able to vote. It was a confusing test, but that was something that was also put up for people to vote. We were having a discussion, and you, I believe, I'm sorry, someone on the we were talking to here now on the discussion, we were talking about how one person was taking this literacy test and they were still denied. I believe that was you and me, Errol, and they were denied
Yes.
to they were still denied their voting right, but there was a white man who just got to go bypass the test and still go cast their vote. And that's one of the challenges that we faced, a nearly impossible test. And we watched other people just walk by without even having to look at it.
That was the privilege. Now, I tell you, I have a question for you. How many bubbles are in a bar of soap?
Well, I want to go back really quick to what Errol said about the poll tax. And I think it's important to highlight that, because right now, we don't even want to go to the grocery store because of the price of groceries. And there's so many other things that we don't want to have to pay for, right? Or, you know, nobody wants to take their whole check and their whole check has to go to rent, even though that's a problem that we face today. And nobody wants to take their whole check and their whole check has to go to mortgage or to a car payment. And we choose not to, right? Or we try to make it or try to have a life where we don't have to do that. But when you think about that poll tax, you think about the fact that it cost $2 and people only made $2 that week. And there was somebody that still did it. They still sacrificed all of their earnings, their livelihood, just to be able to have that experience and to exercise their right to vote. So when you think about it, like in its larger capacity, you're like, yeah, that's crazy. I would never want to spend all my earnings on something like voting, but someone did. So when you look at it that way, you have to think of the magnitude of voting, because there are people and were plenty of people that were willing to lose it all just to have that ability. And I think that we need to understand that. We need to look at that because it's that important.
Mm-hmm. I think Tay is trying to find out how many bubbles are in a bar of soap. Because we need to know that answer.
Yeah, I think that is, again, nearly impossible. How do you answer that? How are you to say that all soap bars have the same amount of suds? It's just another thing. But Mykia, the passion that you have for the voter, the poll, that is important, because as you stated, there were people who went and cast their votes and then they didn't have groceries the next week, or they weren't able to continue on with where they were living or things like that. And here we are, we have the very privilege to walk up and cast our vote, and some of us
for free, and you get a pen and a sticker.
I highlight my sticker every time. Yes.
Right. They give you a prize. You still don't want to do it. It's crazy.
Yes. Yes. We got to talk about the sacrifices. When people say my vote doesn't matter, who does it not matter to? Because it matters to us. It matters to the people who lost everything or sacrificed their lives for you to vote. So your vote does matter. It's very important that you go out and you're grateful for the things that were given to you, because they weren't always just given to us.
Mm-hmm. And I think I heard someone say back in the day, there were more people voting and fighting to vote when you had individuals against them voting than there are today, because I guess we have just become apathetic about voting, or it's not concerning us or something. But your vote does make a difference. Your one vote makes a difference. Your one vote can decide a race. And if we would just go back and just think about some of the asinine questions that our people had to answer just to get the right to vote. And literally, if they could, or if they did pass the literacy test, they were still, some of them, denied the right to vote. Not only were they asking how many bubbles are in a bar of soap, but then they would come up with things like, name the 67th word in the Constitution of whatever state you're in. It could be Alabama. It could be North Carolina. Spell the word backwards. Come on now. Why would you even put anybody through this?
Let me tell you something. That 67th word, I would have failed immediately. Immediately.
Right.
And it's crazy to me because I think an issue is that people now, they don't realize that it is a privilege, right? People have become so accustomed to the privilege that they don't realize that voting is a privilege. It is not something that everyone has. And when I say that, I mean that here in the United States, we have the opportunity to have that democracy. We don't even have to always look back in the past to understand how fortunate we are to have the privilege and the eligibility to vote. There are people in other countries today that do not have these rights that we have. There are people that are living in this world at the same time that we are living that do not have the ability to make their voices heard like we do, and they just have to go whichever the way when the wind blows where they are.
Mm-hmm. And it's very important. I remember the first time my youngest daughter was able to vote. She was so excited. And of course, we took pictures and everything, we posted. And she, to this day, is still excited about voting. I'm just waiting for her to ask, can we go vote together on November 5th? And I will definitely make sure that she and I go and vote together, only if she asks, though. Maybe she's listening today and she'll ask that, can we go and vote together on Tuesday? I would be honored to, because it is a tradition that we have started, and me being there on her, casting her first vote, and everything is just awesome. So you can also involve your children in casting their first vote, making it memorable for them.
Yeah, now, Errol, I'm cool with that until you said only if she asks. If she don't ask, you better still make sure that y'all go vote together.
And that's important too, that connection that you have. You've been the person to show her the way so she understands the importance of voting. We have to lead our children. We have to lead them. We can't talk about it's important to vote, but you're not voting. It's important to do these things, but you're not doing them. So if you're going to ask your kids to do something, you better be the example.
Yeah, my almost 9-year-old definitely reminded me that it's election time, especially because we vote early, and he goes in with me and likes to press the buttons. So yes, it is really important to be an example for your children, because they will remind you and they will keep you straight. Because let me tell you something, you ain't never been checked like being checked by an 8-year-old.
Listen, try my 16-year-old, who is highly upset about the polls, and I didn't even realize that she was watching the polls. And it kind of made me proud. It was a proud mommy moment, because I know she's aware and she's listening to me. And to have your teenager listen to you, that's huge.
Yes, yes. It's nice to hear that, all of you. And it's the same for me. You know, the kids love to see mom. So I was looking at, and that's because they hear about it. So again, it really starts at home too. Bring them up. And my kid, when your son becomes an adult, hopefully you get that experience that Errol gets. I know I'm going to get it, because I'm going to make it happen. Like, come on, we're together. We're going together.
Right. And now, you know, I have 3 grands, and the oldest is getting, I think he turns 16 pretty soon. So I might grab him and take him to the voting booth with me on Tuesday as well, because he needs to see what we're doing now. He already understands what I do as a union activist, organizer, civil rights. Even my middle grandson, he said, I asked him one day, do you understand what I do for a living? He said, yeah, you sound like a Martin Luther King.
Well, that's a great thing to be. Mm-hmm. That is a great thing for them to look at you and say, you something like a Martin Luther King. Yeah, and speaking of grandfather, there were even grandfather clauses back then.
Yes.
That only people, like, you can only vote if your grandfather had been eligible to vote. Like, excuse me. We come from, like, there's so many people, like immigrants and enslaved people, that come from people who don't even know who their grandfathers are. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let alone, you know, if their grandparents had the ability to even vote.
Mm-hmm. And these practices persisted until, and not only poll tax literacy tests and grandfather clauses, but you had white-only primaries. And also, in even trying to get to vote, you had violence and intimidation. And all of these practices were persisted until the passage of the Voting Rights Act of 1965, which outlawed the discriminatory voting laws and provided federal oversight to protect Black voters' rights. So we have the ability to freely, even with the little things, even with not the little things, but even with the things that are being placed as obstacles for us to vote, or for many people to vote, we still have to vote, get out and vote. Other people made ways for us to vote, so we must get out to vote. And during this time, or during the Jim Crow era, many Southern states imposed the literacy test just as a barrier to voting. And these tests were intentionally designed to be confusing, arbitrary, and nearly impossible to pass, especially for BIPOC individuals. And one of the things that, you still talk about the questions that we just how many bubbles in a bar of soap. That was just crazy. I would even want to say it was even degrading to even get to ask the question, how many bubbles are in a bar? So it depends on how hard you rub, how many bubbles you get. So So in a country where people have sacrificed their lives to vote, it's critical that we not take this right for granted. Voting is not just a personal right, it's a civic responsibility. And it is through voting, individuals shape the future of their communities, the state, the nation, and despite progress, voter suppression efforts still exist today, making it even more important for us to exercise the right that so many people fought for. When you just think about it, John Lewis, civil rights leader and congressman, he said that the vote is the most powerful, nonviolent tool we have in a democratic society, and we must use it. And you have to know the history of John Lewis. He was beaten during the Selma marches, but he dedicated his life to voting rights, urging people to honor the sacrifices of those who came before by participating in democracy. And we've got to continue to do it. Not only John Lewis, but go ahead, Tate.
We also have Franklin D. Roosevelt. The quote, "Nobody will ever deprive the American people of the right to vote except the American people themselves. And the only way they could do that is by not voting." So that's an important quote that you can take with you as well. The only people who can deprive the American people are themselves.
And Susan B. Anthony, she said, "Someone struggled for your right to vote. Use it." I feel like that sums it all up right there. Like, the right to vote was earned. It wasn't given.
You might have to mute me. Did you guys see how ladies went to Susan B. Anthony's grave and placed their voting stickers on her tombstone this week?
No, that sounds... Well, where'd you see it?
It was on the news. I can't remember what news station it was on, but it was awesome. And people, I mean, they have covered her tombstone and her grave with voting stickers. I voted, we voted, et cetera, et cetera.
And that's a beautiful impact. That is the way that you want to be remembered. People come to you, come and put a sticker where you rest and let you know that they've done exactly what you fought for.
They appreciate. Yes.
That is a beautiful thing to see.
And even one of our past presidents, he said, "There's no such thing as a vote that doesn't matter. It all matters." And that was a quote from 44th President Barack Obama. "There's no such thing as a vote that doesn't matter. It all matters."
And it does. And I think that a huge thing that we try to tell people every week on this show is that if it did not matter, there wouldn't be so many different people trying to block your vote. It may not be as forthright as a poll tax or as a literacy test or something like that, but it happens. Like 1 year, Timmy and I were out and we were what we call poll captains or something for when it came to voting. And they were literally telling people like, hey, you're at the wrong place. You can't vote here and turning them away. And, you know, everyone knows that the lines are already long on election day. And so there are people literally out there that are really making it hard and almost impossible for you to vote for a reason. There is a reason behind it. And you need to understand that reason and understand the importance and why it is, why you should fight for it.
Absolutely. And stop being complacent. It's time out for
being naive.
Naive, yes, absolutely, to think that it's still not happening. I mean, even all the way down to gerrymandering, there's so many tactics that are go into play to keep us from voting, because voting is what's going to lift us up. And at the end of the day, it's what's going to lift us up and our community up. But we have the powers that be that want to stand in the way, and they are strategic about it. They have put this plan into place years ago, and it's not something they decided overnight. This is something they have mapped out like a war. It's really like a war on voting. And we have got to stop letting people win. And it's voting is like the easiest thing you can do. But I'm a digress.
And even today, there are efforts to restrict voting rights, including gerrymandering, voter ID laws, limiting access to polling places, which I don't know why I've been having problems with that word today.
Disproportionately. I got you.
I have been struggling over that word today. Impact marginalized communities. And these modern day tactics echo the suppression efforts of the Jim Crow era, showing that the fight for voting rights is ongoing. And as we see these obstacles, it is more important than ever to remain vigilant and engage in the democratic process by voting. We not only honor the past, but also protect the future for generations to come. Voting is a right that many people in this country have fought, bled, and died for. It is a right that, when exercised, honors the sacrifices of those who lost their lives during the civil rights movement. Every vote matters, and every election shapes the course of our society. By casting your vote, you carry forward the legacy of those who came before and help ensure that their sacrifices were not in vain. Encouraging others to vote and getting involved in your local communities, voter registration efforts can be powerful ways to continue this fight for equality and justice. And remember, the most profound way to honor the legacy of all of those that died for this right is by ensuring that everyone's voice is heard at the ballot box. As Martin Luther King Jr. said, our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. And voting, one of the most powerful forms of voting, of democratic participation, is something that undoubtedly matters. Well, we've now come down to the last few minutes of the show. Our union brothers, sisters, and siblings at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette have been outside for 24 months, 2 years, on the picket lines. And yet, while they are striking, they are still churning out the news with facts for you and me. Let's show our support to them by making sure we subscribe to unionprogress.com. And once you subscribe to this free publication, how about going over and donating to their strike fund at cwa.org/PPG-donate. I just heard someone shout, "We are one." That's right. We are one. Our brothers, sisters, and siblings at Maximus are still fighting for a contract. And since you're in a giving spirit, because it is better to give than receive, journey over to cwa.org/CCW Solidarity Fund and help the workers and their families of Maximus. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, National Bullying Prevention Month, Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and LGBTQIA+ History Month. October and all of its awareness campaigns serve as a powerful reminder that there are steps we all must take in looking out for loved ones, the people in our community, and those who have been impacted. It's time to take one big step together and make change. An hour is not long enough to be with you, and a week is too long to be away from you. You have been tuned into the CWA Human Rights Justice Hour Power broadcast. I hope something you heard today has inspired you to take action toward creating positive change in the world. Every person has the power to make a difference, no matter how small. And by working together, we can create a world where human rights are respected and valued. So I encourage each of you in the listening audience to reflect on your role in promoting human rights to affect change in your communities and beyond. Know that you are not alone in your quest for a more just and equitable world. When faced with injustice, it can be easy to lose hope and give up. But remember, justice may be slow, like the truth, but when it finally comes, it will stand. Until next Thursday, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, right here on KYOK 1140 AM and the all-new 106.5 FM, KYOKradio.org, or on your favorite podcast player. Your vote will make a difference. Until next Thursday, 10 a.m., be blessed.